to the KTEP Book Club on Perspectives. I'm your host, Louis Sines. Joining us today is best-selling author Christian Hanna. Her latest book is The Nightingale, and we'll talk a little bit more about the book in just a minute, but we're very glad to have with us Christian Hanna. Christian, as I mentioned, is an award-winning New York Times best-selling author, and she is with us today. Christian, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Louis. It's great to be here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your latest novel is The Nightingale, and you have already received rave reviews. The book, of course, was released on February 3rd, and we want to talk a little bit about how this differs from your other books. And it's interesting, in one of the reviews, which is in the Costco magazine, it talks about, would you risk your life, and more important, your child's life, to save the life of a stranger? And that's the question that haunted you to write The Nightingale.
Yeah, I mean, that's really where the whole idea came from. I was doing research on a previous book, a historical novel set in World War II, and I came across a memoir about a 19-year-old Belgian woman who had risked her life to create an escape route for downed airmen out of Nazi-occupied France. And I was just so intrigued by this story that I ended up, you know, continuing to do research and delve deeper and, you know, get more into the sort of French resistance and what was going on. And what struck me, of course, was that, you know, we hear a lot, because I read a lot of World War II fiction and nonfiction, and so much of it is about the men. And, you know, to suddenly start discovering the stories of women and to see these women who were risking their lives, it really made me ask myself, you know, when would I do that? When would I step up and risk my life and my child's life to save a stranger? And I think it's, you know, one of those questions that's as relevant today as it was 70 years ago. And I think it's important to sort of keep that dialogue going and to remember the sacrifice that these women made.
You are quoted as saying that you think you were born to write this book.
I do, and it's so interesting. You know, I've written 20-some novels, and I have loved every one of them. Well, actually, some more than others, but but I've always loved writing them. And, you know, so it really surprises me to sort of feel like with this book that I've, for the first time, really come into my own, you know, really written something that I think is just, you know, better than anything I've done before. I think it's, you know, deeper, richer, and more important.
We are visiting with best-selling author Christian Hanna. Her latest novel is The Nightingale, and it's set in World War II, and it involves the French sisters. We'll talk a little bit more about the book in just a minute and the characters, but we're getting a little background on Christian and some of the ideas that she's had. And you mentioned about the women and war, and it's interesting because you focus on the women here, and one of the lines says that women are not born to go to war. And one of your other novels, Homefront, it was very different but very good because people usually don't think about the fact that the mom or the wife is deployed.
Yeah, I just find it fascinating, you know, that so often just women's contribution to war, whether they're serving or whether they're staying home and, you know, manning the home front and trying to keep their children alive and, you know, just survive, it just isn't told often enough. I personally think it's because women tend to sort of come back from those experiences and not talk much about them and just go on with their lives. And I just think that we really need to honor and remember the sacrifices that women have made as well, because they are, you know, risking your life is risking your life.
In the book Homefront, I heard it on audio, and I also read it several times, and it's very well put together, and it's just interesting how that relationship between the father and the wife, mother, kind of stretches out, is gone, and then comes back, and then it's just, you know, it's a very surprise ending.
Well, thank you. I was, you know, I really loved writing that book and sort of getting into the world of, you know, the female soldier, the female helicopter pilot who deploys, because we don't think often enough about what it means as a mother to deploy and leave your children, because it's, you know, the sort of an extra layer, I think, of difficulty, because again, it's more expected that men will go off to war. And now with the way the world is turning, we need to, you know, look at women and look at their stories and sort of talk about it a little bit more. I'm really glad to see, you know, the film and the book American Sniper are dealing with PTSD and some of the ramifications of being at war. And I think it's really important, you know, for that dialogue to continue in the country.
It's interesting that you bring that up because we just interviewed a lady recently who talked about the fact that First Lady Jackie Kennedy suffered from PTSD after her husband's assassination.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that is fascinating.
And of course, they hadn't diagnosed it back then, but she would relive those moments. And so she lived with a lot of guilt. And you write a lot of stories that hit home because they bring up problems that are close to home.
Well, I think that's true. Yeah. I mean, both Jodi Picoult and I really are fascinated by, you know, the issues that face modern women and some of the ethical and moral dilemmas that, you know, that we're facing every day.
And since you mentioned Jodi Picoult, then what do you see as far as, it seems to be that more women authors are coming up and writing the thriller novels. It used to be that they were associated with romance novels. And these novels like yours and Jodi Picoult's, Lisa Scottolini, men are reading those novels as well. And before they were saying, well, those are just women books.
You know, I suspect that part of it has to do with people like Jodi and Lisa Scottolini. They're writing, you know, books that everyone wants to read, male and female. And when they package them, you know, in a certain way, men are more likely to pick them up. And so I think that's, you know, just part of it. But I think the books are just really relevant and page turners, you know, and I think everybody's looking for the next big page turner, and people love books that make them think as well as make them feel.
I think it was John Irving who said the first sentence is always very important. And your first sentence in this novel, it says, if I have learned anything in this long life of mine, it is this. In love, we find out who we want to be. In war, we find out who we are. Tell us about that.
You know, it was interesting. When I first wrote that sentence, probably about 450 pages into the first draft. And I wrote it and I kept going. And then when I went back and was editing the book the next time, I read that sentence and it immediately struck me as this is the entire theme of the novel in one sentence. And so I thought, you know, this is really a compelling, intriguing sentence that says what I have to say in this novel. It should really not be buried on page 450. And so I, you know, rewrote the beginning so that it could be the first sentence, because I just think that's so, you know, true, because in love, we, you know, we have these rose-colored glasses and everything is about how we want the world to be and how we hope we will act. And in war, I think when you're, you know, your back is against the wall and your children are starving, I think you really discover who you are at your core.
We are visiting with Christian Hanna. Christian is the award-winning New York Times bestselling author of various novels. Her latest novel is The Nightingale, and it's a story that takes place during World War II and involves two French sisters. As you're talking about that, Christian, about how, you know, we look at things through rose-colored glasses and other things like that when we're in love, how does war change all that?
Well, of course, you know, I mean, to be fair and honest, all I really know is what I read about it and the research and, you know, how I imagine it to be. I have not been tested in this way, so I don't really know, you know, on a personal level how it impacts me. But I do know just from reading people's stories and from, you know, doing research that it really sort of strips everything away and, you know, makes you do what you need to do to survive. And then there's sort of the next step, which is this right? Am I doing the right thing? And I think history shows us that not enough people sometimes step up to do the right thing.
We are visiting with Christian Hanna. She is the author of The Nightingale. It is a novel based on World War II. And I guess I should talk a little bit more about the novel. I'll set it up a little bit more and you can tell us more about the characters, Kristen, if you don't mind. As I mentioned, takes place in France, 1939, and it involves two sisters and Antoine, which right from the beginning, I said, God, this is a great guy. And Sophie, and being a daddy, of course, when I thought of Sophie, I was thinking, man, what these children went through and what these actually, and then later when the children grow up, what they go through when they see their parents kind of aging and going in a different direction. So tell us a little bit about these characters. You mentioned that when you were there doing research, you ran across a young lady from Belgium. And so how did all these characters come to be?
Well, like I said, it started with the idea of the young, impetuous girl who was willing to risk her life without a great deal of thought about what that meant, you know, the way we are at 18 and 19 and pretty certain that we're immortal, and sort of jumps into, you know, risking her life to save people and to create this route to save airmen. But as I continued to do research, I realized, okay, there were women like that. They were like the action hero women of the day. You know, they were spies and couriers and that sort of thing. But then I started looking at all of the other women, and particularly the women, and I say women because, of course, most of the men were gone at war. And so France had become, you know, a country largely of women. And so there were all of these women who were hiding Jewish children and Jewish families and facilitating the hiding of Jewish children. And I just found that so compelling. And again, that takes me back to the question that the novel raises, which is, you know, when would you do that? And would you do that? You know, would you risk your life to save someone else? And that really sort of, I just kept, you know, once I decided I wanted to write about those two kinds of women, then it was, you know, wrapping the story around them and following the course of the war and showing people as much as possible, this is what it was actually like to be there. And I really wanted the reader to sort of experience this and to understand profoundly the kind of deprivation and danger that the French women lived with.
I don't want to give away the book, obviously, because it's a great read. But tell us about, I found it kind of, I don't know if the word chilling is right or not, but when Vianne provides Captain Beck with a list, includes Jews, communists, homosexuals, Freemasons, and Jehovah's Witnesses.
You know, that was so difficult to do as a writer because, of course, I loved my character and I wanted her to do the right thing. And she believed, you know, that she was a good person. And in fact, she was a good person. And you know, so what I had to balance, of course, was what we know today about what Hitler was doing and where the war was going and, you know, the concentration camps and all of that. They didn't know then. And so I felt that I wanted to really show that she just made this tragic, terrible mistake that we know how bad it was, but she didn't know how bad it was.
We're visiting with Kristen Hanna. Kristen is the award-winning New York Times bestselling author of various novels. Her latest one is called The Nightingale, and we've been discussing that. It's a set in World War II, and it involves two sisters. And the question might come up, Kristen, the fact that in a lot of your novels, you involve either two sisters or two girlfriends. And what comes to mind is, like, we talked about Homefront earlier, and Jo has her best friend who she ends up going to war with. And then Firefly Lane and, oh gosh, what's the other one? Magic Road and Fly Away. You bring all these sisters together. In fact, you have one called
Between Sisters.
Right, yeah. Between Sisters, yes. Tell us about the difference in creating these different characters in different scenarios, but at the same time, making them close to each other.
Well, I guess I would just say, first and foremost, you know, that I'm so fascinated with the idea of women and women's issues and women's relationships. And one of the deepest relationships, you know, that we have as women is with our sisters. And so I'm constantly fascinated with this idea of, you know, how do you get along? How are you torn apart? How do you come back together? That sort of thing. And it was really important to me in The Nightingale that this not simply be a book about the war. You know, I really wanted this to be about people who seemed three-dimensional and living and breathing, who could be your friends. And I wanted to show sort of a true sister relationship in the context of the war, because one thing, you know, most of us know to be true is you can be in the worst of times, like at war, and still fight with your sister about nothing. You know, I mean, that's one of the hallmarks of the sister's relationship is, you know, there's always something deeper, you know, sort of going on. And I really wanted to show that just because they were at war didn't mean they were any different than ordinary sisters anywhere.
We're talking with Kristen Hanna. Kristen is the award-winning New York Times bestselling author of various books, novels, Between Sisters, Distant Shores, The Things We Love. And I'm reading off the ones I've read. Firefly Lane, True Colors, Winter Garden, Night Road, Homefront, my favorite,
wow.
And Fly Away. And I've listened to them on audio as well. And, you know, you mentioned how war changes different things with the women. And now let's go back to one of your male characters, Antoine. And Antoine, at one point, he says something like, we choose to see miracles. I think that's what he says. What does he mean by that?
Well, you know, at that point, that is sort of at the end of the war. And what he's trying to do is sort of say to Vianne, who has been as broken by the war in her way as he has been broken by it in his way, and in fact, as a generation were, and, you know, and coming right on the heels of World War I, basically, a second generation broken by war. And he's basically saying, you know, look, the only way to really survive this is to make a choice to see good things and to see that miracles are possible and that change can happen. And, you know, let's not focus on the bad place we've been, but let's look for the better place we can find.
As I mentioned before, a lot of women read your books, but so do a lot of men now. And I think the fact that you touch on all bases, and I think getting back to my favorite book, Homefront, I think people, it opened up the eyes for a lot of men to realize, you know, this is because Joe's husband doesn't believe in the army. He wants her to not go, disobey the orders. And he finds out what she goes through. And then she finds out also how different it is when she comes home.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting to sort of juxtapose, you know, the sort of person who just doesn't believe in war and doesn't think you should go and thinks it's not a big deal to just say, no, I won't go, you know, against the person who is actually active military. And in fact, that book just last week was the, forget the name of the magazine, but it's like the Military Spouse Book Club pick.
Oh, wow.
And it's really touched a lot of people, a lot of women and men, you know, who are saying, you know, they're grateful that somebody is showing what it's like on the home front when they're gone and on the home front when they return.
I've given away a lot of copies of that book.
Oh,
because
thank
I really
you.
Like it. You're welcome. Let's talk a little bit about yourself. As I mentioned earlier, you are an award-winning author, New York Times bestselling author, 22 novels. You're a former attorney. A lot of people don't know about that. You turned right. And you are now the mother of one son, and you live with your husband in the Pacific Northwest. So, and you told us that you like reading World War II books, novels. Tell us, what does Kristen Hanna read?
Boy, I read everything. I really do. I read historical fiction, contemporary fiction, literary, commercial, thrillers, horror, teen, YA fantasy. I really read a lot, you know, across the board. I would say that what I'm looking for most of all is a book that is written in such a way that I completely forget that I'm an author. You know, I'm not thinking it should be rewritten. I'm not thinking it's going too slowly. I just fall into the book and I can't put it down. And, you know, that's really sort of what I love best. My favorite book probably of the last year was, like many people's, Donna Tartt's The Goldfinch, which I thought was just fabulous.
Yes. What are you reading now? Are you reading something now, Kristen?
Well, at the moment, I'm on book tour. Yeah. So I'm kind of crazed at the moment. And I'm reading a lot of research for my next novel. I think what's on the top of my to-be-read pile? I think it's Us by David Nichols is the next thing I'm going
to
pick up.
What inspired you to be a writer? When you were younger, did you write stories in school, or did all that change once you went into law school? Did you just decide, I'm going to try this?
You know what? I did not ever write a short story. I didn't ever, I was not one of those kids who dreamed of being a writer. I was the kid who was in the back seat on every family vacation with my nose, you know, buried in a book, and my parents telling me to look up. It was the Grand Canyon, and I was, you know, buried in Lord of the Rings. But it wasn't until, let's see, I think I was in my third year of law school, and my mom was nearing the end of her battle with breast cancer. And I was in her hospital room one day, and we were talking about, you know, my future and my legal career and everything, the way things were going. And she said, well, you know, I wouldn't worry about it too much because I'm pretty sure you're going to be a writer. And, you know, I was pretty shocked at the time because I just really had no interest in it. But we decided right then, my mom and I, to write a book together. And really, it was just a way for us to have something to talk about and to share in the last, you know, days of her life. And so we plotted this whole 18th century Scotland novel and, you know, did all kinds of research and, you know, talked about it. And then I guess years later, after she passed away, when I got pregnant with my son, I had a bad pregnancy and I was sent on bed rest for 6 months. And I thought, well, this would be a great time to try that book. There was nothing else to do. And so I'll give writing a try. And basically, from the moment I started writing, I was hooked. I just absolutely fell in love with it. And mostly, I think, you know, aside from giving me this great creative outlet, it allowed me to be the at-home mom that I wanted to be.
We're visiting with Kristen Hanna. Kristen is the award-winning New York Times bestselling author of various novels, 22 novels to be exact, and her latest one is The Nightingale, and it's a story that takes place during World War II, and it's basically The Nightingale tells the stories of two sisters separated by years and experience, by ideals, passion, and circumstance, each embarking on her own dangerous path towards survival, love, and freedom in Germany, occupied, war-torn France. And we've heard Kristen talk a little bit about the characters and some of the quotes that are in that book. It's an awesome book, and you're going, well, just like all her books, they just grab you and take you in there. It's interesting, as we were talking before about you reading books and your mother telling you you were going to be a writer. When I read on your webpage that you said you read everything in the house, and then you asked your husband to bring cereal boxes so you could read those.
Yep. And you know you're in trouble when you have to have, you know, somebody else choose your books for you. It's such a personal thing. And so, yeah, I just sort of dove into writing like I dive into everything else. I think I sold the first book when my son was 2. And so I've pretty much been, you know, doing this ever since. In the first, like, 5 or 6 years, of course, I was writing at nap time. And then I was writing school hours, school days. And now that my son is, you know, grown up and gone, I pretty much write full time.
Does he write at all?
Excuse me?
Does he write at all?
You know what? The poor thing has great talent and is embarking on a screenwriting career. So, and I you know, I think he's got what it takes, but it's a tough job. So I'm really hopeful for him.
Well, perhaps he can write a screenplay for one of Mom's books.
He has written a screenplay for Winter Garden, actually.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah.
And so is that going in the works already, or is it still?
We hope so. He's just finished it. And, you know, Homefront is in development. Your favorite book.
Yes.
So that's in development with Chris Columbus. So we've got our fingers crossed on that one, too.
Wow. Well, make sure you put in the credits, this is one of Louis' favorite books.
I will.
Okay. Finally, we have about 3 minutes left, I believe. Kristen, tell us a little bit about what would you tell your readers out there or perhaps aspiring young writers as far as reading and writing?
The most important thing to tell someone is that it's possible. You know, the great thing about being a writer is you don't need some advanced degree. You don't need anything really except a pen and a paper or a laptop. You know, the biggest challenge and the one that most people don't overcome is just beginning. You know, you need to make the commitment to write. You need to write every day and then, you know, continue committing to learning and taking classes and finding critique partners. And then you have to be willing to take, you know, sometimes years of rejection. And so, you know, it's a long and daunting process. But the great thing about it, you know, win, lose, or draw, you are writing something that matters to you. And, you know, it's a great creative outlet. So I think it's sort of a win-win situation. Most people just are afraid to actually start.
What about reading, Kristen? Some people have said that books are, you know, things of the past, people don't read anymore, but they are so accessible, whether it be online, audiobooks, ebooks. They're everywhere, so you can't say, I can't find a book.
You know, it's so funny. You hear all the time, you know, people are reading less, but every time I go to the airport, every time I, you know, go on vacation or sit on a beach or sit by a pool or, you know, sit on the subway, people are reading.
Yes.
And they're reading books, they're reading on their devices, you know, there's all these different formats. And I think more than any time in my whole life, the range of books is practically infinite. So whatever it is you're looking for, whatever reading experience you want, you can find it out there.
We've been visiting with Kristen Hanna. Kristen is the award-winning New York Times bestselling author of several novels, Homefront, Flyaway, Night Road, Winter Garden, and her latest is The Nightingale. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read a review or a comment that Sarah Gruen talked about, and she is the best-selling author of Water for Elephants. The Nightingale is a beautifully written and richly evocative examination of life, love, and the ravages of war, and the different ways people react to unthinkable situations, not to mention the terrible and mounting toll of keeping secrets. This powerhouse of a story is equally packed with action and emotion and is sure to be another major hit. I loved it. And from what I understand from other reviewers, what I've read, a lot of people, you've left them in tears.
Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Well, you didn't leave us in tears, but you left us smiling because we had a great time visiting with you. We want to take time to thank you again for taking your time to visit with us, and good luck on your book tour.
Thank you very much, Louis. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you. We've been visiting with Kristen Hanna. Kristen is the author of the New York Times bestselling book, The Nightingale.
Here comes the showboat at last. I'm Bill Newcott, and this is AARP's Movies for Grownups. The 1939 Universal Studios classic Showboat was never actually lost, but for various reasons, it has never been available on DVD until now.
Old Man River, that old man River, he must know something, but don't say nothing.
That's Paul Robeson singing. The role of Joe, the kind-hearted handyman, was written just for him in the original stage version of Showboat. We've all heard recordings of Robeson, but seeing his performance for the first time is a revelation. Robeson has wonderfully expressive eyes and an infectious, wistful smile. It's no wonder that he was one of the top concert performers of the 1930s, and a tragedy that his refusal to play to Hollywood's idea of what a black man should be forced him off the screen. There are moments in Showboat that make us squirm in our seats today. Robeson's Joe is something of a stereotype slacker, and there's a cringe-inducing blackface musical number with Irene Dunne. But director James Whale redeemed those faults by insisting that his movie keep the stage version's heartbreaking storyline about Julie, the singer who must leave the showboat after it's revealed that she's half African-American and married to a white man. You can't help but wonder how that played in the many parts of the country where, in 1936, interracial marriage was still illegal. Eventually, the racist culture wins, and Julie's husband leaves her. It all leads up to Helen Morgan, playing Julie in her last screen role, singing the searingly sad ballad, Bill.
I don't know, because he's just my
pill.
Showboat on DVD for the first time is available only online from Warner Archive at warnerarchive.com. I'm Bill Newcott.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, DJ Orozco. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.